And I'd like to do something that is an important aspect of the Yosef story in general. It's not a central piece necessarily in terms of space devoted to it, but it's a thread that's important. I think has tremendous meaning, and I'd like to take it in a broad sense and look at really the story of Yosef through the prism as well of the story of Daniel. It is very, very well known, and is not meant to be a chiddush, that there is a tremendous similarity and there's a tremendous parallelism and echo in the story of Daniel, the story of Yosef, right? This is well known. I'm sure you've all come across this. And just very briefly, I'm going to give a few examples of where we see this in Daniel, just the beginning chapters of Sefer Daniel. And then I'm going to try to suggest, a particular explanation for why they're compared. Okay, first just to show that they're compared, which I think is obvious, but just to clarify. And then from there, we're going to go to a particular perspective on what it is that, what is the common ground, what is the meaning of this parallelism. Okay, so that's the basic roadmap for the next little bit. Okay, so to begin with, the basic story, Daniel begins with the fact that there are a number of people who, young people, who are taken by the Malchut in order to train them and to educate them and to develop them as leaders of the government, advisors and leaders of the government. And they're described in ways that are, you know, Daniel is the first amongst them. He's the primary one amongst them, but they include Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. They include many, many other people. And they're described as Yiladim, Asher Ein Bahem Kol Mum, V'Tovei Mar'eh. Recognize the echoes of Yosef, who's called Tov Mar'eh. Maskilim, B'chol Chachma, exceptionally smart, V'yadei Da'at, V'nei Mada, V'asher Kol Bahem La'mo B'hechal HaMelech. The point is that they're going to be part of the royal court. Ulamdam Sefer Ulshon Kastim. Vayasim lahem, we read a few psukim later in Pasuk Zayin, Vayasim lahem sar hasarisim shemot, Vayasim l'Daniel Belshazzar. They're given these foreign names, much as Yosef is given the name Tzafnapaneach, right? Vayitena Elohim et Daniel in Pasuk Tet, Vayitena Elohim et Daniel l'chetzel rachamim l'fnei sar hasarisim. Okay, again, echoes of the story of how Yosef, Hashem causes the Sarim to favor Yosef, and other phrases of Lama Yireh et Pneichem Zoafim in Pasuk Yud, in the middle of Pasuk Yud, and V'chiyavtem et Roshi LaMelech in the end of the thing, again reminds of the story of the Sar Mashkim Sar Hofim. Everything that's said about them is particularly true of Daniel in Pasuk Chaf. V'chol dvar chachmat bina asher bikesh mehem ha-melech v'yemtzeim eser yadot al kol achar tumim hashvim asher b'chol malchuto. Right, that they are found to be much wiser than the chartumim, which of course echoes again the Yosef story. Then there's of course Nebuchadnezzar in Perek Bet has this dream. He has these dreams and he calls to the Chartumim for interpretation of the dreams. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar calls for interpretation of the dreams from the Chartumim, and they're unable to provide it. Okay, they're unable to provide the interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar gets angry at them. Pasuk Chaf Hey, Edayin Aryoch behav behit bahala Hanel Daniel kedam malka. And at that point, Aryoch, who is in charge, in great haste, brings forward Daniel before the king. V'chein amarla di hashkachat gevar min bnei galuta di Yehud. Right, there is this person from the exile of the Yehudim Di Bishara Lamalka Yoda, right? Someone comes and says to the king, there's this Jew who can provide the answer to your dream. Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Again, all these are echoes, of course, of the story of Yosef, right? I assume that we all recognize these. I'm not going one by one. When Daniel comes before Nebuchadnezzar, he says that I can't provide the answer to your dream. It's not my wisdom, but rather Hashem has given me the answer to your dream. He'll provide the answer, and that's in Pasuk Chaf Chet. Bram Aite Elah Bishmaya Gala Razin. The secret is revealed to me by the God of the heavens. And then in Pasuk Chaf Tet, he tells him how Ant Malka Rayonach Al Mishkavach Salkan. You have these thoughts. Your thoughts have gone on your bed, and those meaning that you're dreaming about that which you were thinking about. Madilu Acharei Danan. It's about what's going to happen in the future, which of course again is the interpretation of Yosef. Okay, so these are just a handful of examples, just in case anyone's unfamiliar with this idea, which is I think fairly well known, that there are many, many connections between Daniel and Yosef. They're often compared for various reasons, in various ways. What I mean to say is that there are two things. There's the what and there's the why. There's the what, meaning the fact that Daniel is being compared to Yosef. That's, I think, universally agreed upon. What is more of a question is the why. What is the point of connecting them? What is being said by modeling Daniel after Yosef? What is the point of that? And that, there are different explanations. And I don't think they're all equally good, but okay, in any case, but there are different ways that one can explain it. I'm going to suggest one particular way that I think is meaningful and hopefully we'll get something from. I think it's particularly appropriate for a shir for Shana Bet at this time of year. So anyhow, but that's aside. Okay, there are a couple of phrases that here that recur again and again in connection with Daniel that are very interesting phrases. One of them we already saw, but we're going to focus on now, and that's in Perek Bet, Pasuk Kav Hei. We're going to look at that pasuk just a little more slowly. Edayin Aryoch Behit Bahala Hanel Daniel Kadam Malka. So Aryoch quickly, in haste and in panic or whatever, in Behit Bahala, right? Bahala, so he brings in Daniel before the V'chein Amar Ladi Hashkach Gavar, right? There's this man Min Bnei Galuta Diyud, and this expression in some form or other appears again and again and again concerning Daniel. Daniel is referred to frequently as being Min Bnei Galuta Di Yehud. Okay? Being from the Galut, being from the exile of Yehuda. Okay? That's one of the phrases that appears again and again concerning Daniel. There is an acute awareness both on Daniel's own part and anyone who's associated with Daniel. Anyone who knows Daniel knows that he is from the exile of the people who were exiled from Yerushalayim from Malchut Yehuda to Bavel. Okay, that's known by everyone. And that's how he is referred to. It's almost like his last name, Kimat. Daniel is referred to again and again as Min Bnei Galuta Di Yehud. Okay, of the exiles of Yehuda. In Perek Vav, we find the famous story of Daniel in the lion's den, right, which I'm sure that many of us are familiar with, where there is this decree, there's this plot, let's start with that, there's this plot by the various ministers who are jealous of Daniel because Daniel is rising to the top of the government and top of the advisors and people in charge of government, and people are jealous of him, and so they want to get rid of him, and they plot to get rid of him. First they try to find him some disloyalty, and that doesn't work because he's totally loyal and faithful. And then they try to trap him through his religion. And the way that they do this is the following. They plan they make this edict, they convince the emperor to make this edict, and the edict is basically that anyone who asks anything from any person or any god for the next 30 days is going to be thrown into lion's den, right? And the king himself can't revoke the decree. Again, I'm sorry for those who already know it, but I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Basically, what happens is that Daniel, when he hears about this edict, with Daniel kidi yadad dirisham k'tava, when he hears about Perek Vav, Pasuk Yudalf, when Daniel becomes aware, dirisham k'tava, that this edict was written, al levaita, he goes up to his house, v'kivein pitichan la be'alita, negad Yushalem. He opens windows facing Yerushalayim. Zimnin tlata biyoma hu barech al berchohi umatzla umoda kadam elaha kol kabel di hava avad min kadmatanan. He bows and he kneels and bows before Hashem and thanks Hashem, etc. He davens before his God as he had always done until this point. Okay, that's the pasuk. In other words, Daniel, not just now, but always, was known, and this is an important part of the perek, that the reason that he continues to do it is because people know that this is something he had always been doing, and he couldn't tacitly agree to what the edict said. The edict was basically suggesting that the fact that if you only ask things from someone who you expect is able to do it, if the only person you ask anything from is, you don't ask from any god or any person except for the king, it means that the king is the ultimate power. So being that everyone knew that this is what Daniel always did, therefore it would be like Shilto describes other cases, like a Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah. This meaning that he would be accepting the king as the ultimate god. My point is that what we see here is that he opened his windows to face Yerushalayim as he had always done. This was a known thing. In other words, people knew about Daniel, number one, that he was Mibnei Galutad Yehud, number two, that he had, that he would daven facing Negad Yerushalayim, facing Yerushalayim. Okay, let's go one step further. Daniel Perek Bet, we have also an example of a phrase that appears again and again and again. Okay, in Daniel Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Chet, V'rachmin l'miv'a min kadam ela dishmaya, min kadam a, Al Raza Dina Dila Yehavdun Daniel V'Chavrohi Im Sha'ar Chachimei Bavel. Okay, so in Perek Bet, just to give you the background for people who are not learning to say with Daniel at the moment, so basically what happens is that Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, right? He has this dream, and what happens is back in Perek Bet, which we saw earlier, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he's very disturbed by the dream, and he calls in all of the Chachamim throughout his empire and says, I want you to tell me what I dreamt and what the interpretation of the dream is. And they all go to him, what are you talking about? We can't do that. That's an impossible task. No king or emperor has ever asked that of his wise men and advisors before. The way it works is you tell us the dream and then we'll give you an interpretation. We can't tell you what the dream was and what the interpretation is if you don't give us any information. And they said, it's impossible. They were totally at a loss. So Nebuchadnezzar planned on killing out all of the Chachamim of his empire. Okay, that was the plan. And that, of course, would include Daniel and his friends. Right, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, all these advisors of the empire. And of course, Daniel was not happy with that plan. So Daniel davened to Hashem. Hashem should reveal to him the dream and the interpretation so that he and his friends would not be killed out, along with all the other Chachamim in the empire. Okay, so that's where this pasuk comes in. And it says that he davened, right, rachamin limib'ah, he asked for rachamim min kadam ela shemaya. Okay, ela shemaya. Okay, which in Hebrew would be Elokei Hashamayim. Okay, Elokei Hashamayim. So I'd like to focus on this phrase for a few moments, because this is a phrase, this is how Daniel consistently refers to God in Sefer Daniel, as Elah Shemaya, or some form thereof, Elah Shemaya, the Elohei Hashamayim. So where's this come from and what's its significance? So I mentioned many times that it's always important, this is not my personal shita, this comes straight from Chazal, and I want to mention it just briefly because it's really important to know this. There is, and by now I think probably you're familiar with this, the Lamed Bet Midot of Rabbi Eliezer, Beno Shel Rabbi Yossi Hakalili. Okay. The Lamed Bet Midot of Rabbi Eliezer Beno Shel Rabbi Yossi Hakalili. Okay? You familiar with this? No? Okay. It's really, really important. This is a Braita. Okay, it's a Braita of 32 midot of what's referred to as Agadata or Midrash. It is, as opposed to the Yud Gimel midot of Rabbi Yishmael, which I'm sure we're all familiar with, of the halachic methodologies of interpreting Pesukim. These are 32, not 13, but 32 principles of interpreting Tanakh, interpreting Pesukim, more Parshanut type of things. And they're really fascinating and very, very helpful and very important. One of the 32 methodologies is, by the way, the opening chapters of a Midrash called a number of different things, but it's usually called Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer. Not Pirkei Dror Eliezer, that's an entirely different Midrash, but Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer. And there, one of the midot that we have over there, one of the methodologies is known as Binyan Av. Now you may have come across a Binyan Av in Gemara, right? It means something different. When the Gemara talks about Binyan Av, it's talking about that you have a certain halacha in a particular context, and you derive from there to other contexts, right? Like you find on a classical example of Binyan Av that Atzei Shitim Omdim, that by the Mishkan, the Shitim tree, you know, wood, piece of wood, the planks had to be vertical the way they grow. And we learn from that that things have to be Derech Gidulam by other halachot. Okay? Just as an example. Not critical for us, but I'm saying that's an example of Binyan Av in the Yud Gimel Midot. Okay? In the Yud Gimel Midot, in the halachic context. But here, Binyan Av means something else. Binyan Av means that the first time that a word or phrase appears in Tanakh, it sets the meaning and the tone and the connotation for the rest of Tanakh. It's important to take note of when something first comes up, when something is first used, and its context and what is associated with it, because that reverberates throughout all the times in Tanakh. Okay? And that's what the Mishnah Rabbi Lezer, the Lampet Midot, Shrei Lezer, Shrei Yosef Lili, refers to as Binyan Av. Okay? This idea is sometimes quoted from Achronim, like the Vilna Gaon and others, but it goes way back to Chazal, it goes back to the Lampet Midot of Rabbi Lezer, Shrei Yosef Lili. In any case, my point is that we want to know where this phrase comes from and what the context is and what goes with it. Okay, and you'll see that it's very much connected to these other points. Okay, these other points over here, and to the connection between Yosef and Daniel. Okay, so if anyone is not lost yet, please look at Bereishit Perek Kaf Dalet, and we will see how this connects. Elohei Hashamayim is a phrase that is used, and in fact is used more than once, in Bereishit Perek Chaf Dalet, where we have the story of between Avram and Eliezer. Okay? And I apologize, I left out one of the most important psukim here, which is Pasuk Vav. I apologize, if you have a Bereishit, you can follow along. If you don't have a Bereishit, I'll read it to you. Bereishit Perek Vav, Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Vav is the most important of the psukim, but we'll read it in turn. Pasuk Gimel, Vashpiacha Badonai Elohei HaShamayim Velohei HaAretz. Asher lo tikach isha levnei mibnot hakanani asher anochi yoshei bekirbo. In Pasuk Hey, which you don't have, Eliezer asks Avraham, and what happens if the woman is not willing to come back with me? What if, should I take Yitzchak out of Eretz Yisrael? And the answer that's given in Pasuk Vav is, Vayomer lav Avraham, Vayomer lav Avraham, Hishamer lecha pentashiv epini shama. Don't bring Yitzchak back. And then he continues, Pasuk Zayin. And again, Elokei HaShamayim, right? Adonai Elohei HaShamayim, Asher lekachani mibeit avi yomer esmolati. Hashem Elokei HaShamayim, who took me from my home and from the household of my homeland and my father's household. Vasher diberli, vasher nishmali lemor zarchatein to aretz hazot, and swore that my descendants would be given this land. Hu yishlach malchol fanecha lakata isha levni misham. Right? But under no circumstances are you to bring Yitzchak out of Eretz Yisrael. The context for Elokei HaShamayim in Bereishit Perek Chaf Dalet is very clear. The context is all about the importance of Avram being taken to Eretz Yisrael, the promise to his descendants to be given Eretz Yisrael, the fact that Yitzchak is to remain in Eretz Yisrael and to not leave, right? There's a very close association between Elokei HaShamayim, which is part of this phrase, Elokei HaShamayim, Elokei HaAretz. Elokei HaAretz doesn't mean just of the earth, it means of Eretz Yisrael. It's used that way many times in Tanakh, and I think clearly over here. Elokei HaShamayim is a phrase that's associated with the idea that there is this bond between Am Yisrael, Hashem's chosen nation, and Eretz Yisrael, which is Hashem's chosen location. That relationship between Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael is what is connoted, not what's meant, but what's connoted by Elokei HaShamayim. And I think that when we put together the various pieces, the image that emerges of Daniel is a very, very important one. The image of Daniel, we have to realize, especially if you're familiar with the story of Daniel, Daniel is the person who is living in Galut and under a couple of different empires, but there are several stages to the story. But Daniel is living in Galut. Daniel is rises more than once to the very pinnacle of the government. He's living in the king's court. He's the king's top advisor. He's the king's favorite. Right? We have this description of Daniel, who is the most successful Jew in the Galut, in the empire, of anybody, period. Right? He has totally made it in every sense whatsoever. He is the emperor's right-hand man more than once. And yet, what we see in the story of Daniel is how Daniel represents the person who, despite the fact that he plays a very important role in the empire, and he plays a very, very role, very important role in the Jewish community, because of that, because he's in that position, and this is all wonderful and good. But nonetheless, despite all of that, there is a constant awareness that he's min b'nei galut di yehud. He's not a Babylonian, he's not a Persian, he's not He is one of the Jews from the Galut. His real place is back in Yerushalayim. When he davens, his direction, his kivun is neged Yerushalayim. And he constantly, the way he identifies with God, is constantly is Elokei HaShamayim, which comes from exactly this context in Bereishit Parakaf Dalet, where Elokei HaShamayim connotes the connection between Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, and between Bnei Yisrael and the Zera Avot and Eretz Yisrael. And this is reflected, if you turn the page for a second, we're going to come back to side one, but for just a second, if we turn to Daniel Perek Tet, if we flash forward to Perek Tet, we have this very, very poignant parak where Bishnat Achal Dayavish Ben Achashverosh Mizera Madai Asher Hamlach Al Machut Kastim Bishnat L'malko Ani Daniel Biniti Basfarim Mispar Shanim Asher Hayad Dvar Adonai Yimiyah Navi L'malot L'charvot Yushalayim Shivim Shana. Daniel says, I looked into the matter of how long it was, how the time that we're in matched up with the 70 years that Hashem said to Yirmiyahu was going to be Galut Bavel, and when we were going to return to Yerushalayim, and he saw where things were holding. Vetanah et panai el Adonai Elohim levakesh tefilah tachonim b'tzom v'sak v'efer, and he goes into mourning, fasting and mourning, and bat palel Adonai Elohai bat vadav amra ana Adonai ha'el gadol yibor manara shomer brit v'chesed lo avav shomer mitzvotam. He goes to this huge tefillah and vidui, etc., etc., for Am Yisrael. What does he ask for? We come to Pasuk Tet Zayin. Adonai kichol tzitchatcha yashav na'apcha b'chamatcha me'ircha Yerushalayim har kodshecha ki yuchateinu v'avonot avoteinu Yerushalayim v'amcha l'charpa l'chol sviroteinu. And he asked in Pasuk Yuzayin v'atah shema Eloheinu l'tfilat avdecha v'el tachonav v'air panecha al mekdashcha ha'shameim l'man Adonai. And again in Pasuk Yutet ki shimcha nikra l'ircha v'alamecha, his tefillah and his tzom and his eibel, etc., is specifically about he's asking Hashem that the nevuah of Yirmiyahu should be fulfilled, the 70 years should come to an end, and we should be allowed to return to Yerushalayim, the Beit Meir should be rebuilt, etc. In other words, it seems to me that a central core component of the Daniel story is how, despite the fact that he accomplishes tremendous things from every perspective, including from the perspective of Torah, he accomplishes tremendous things in Galut, despite the fact that he is part of he's a key part of the kingdom, of the empire, despite the fact that he is tremendously successful by every measure, he has this keen awareness that his destiny, the destiny of Am Yisrael, is tied to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the Mikdash, and not to Bavel or Paras Madai, whatever the case may be at that particular point. And this, I think, is really where Daniel is a reflection of the story of Yosef. And I haven't forgotten about Yosef. We're returning to Yosef right now. Bottom box on side one. Let's turn back to there. In Dvarim Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Tet Zayin, there is a very, very unusual phrase, a unique phrase, where we have the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu to Yosef, to the descendants of Yosef. And when he talks about Yosef, he says, we meged eretz umaloa urtzon shochnisna tavota l'rosh Yosef ukoko nizirachav. He talks about ritzon shochnisna. What's ritzon shochnisna? The desire, the will, that which the one who dwells in the snare desires or want it. Says the Midrash Tanan, okay, the Midrash Tanan on Dvarim, Midrash Tanan, which is like an alternative Sifrei, right, like there's the Mechilta Drashbi instead of the Mechilta Drashmal. V'ritzon shofni sneh, what does it mean, ritzon shofni sneh? Sha'asa ritzon, that Yosef did the will of Misha Nigla al Moshe bisneh. Okay, Yosef fulfilled the will of the one that dwelt in the snare, the one that appeared to Hashem in the snare. In other words, Hashem is never referred to as Shochni snare, as the one who dwells in the snare. Why Davka here? Because it's referring to what Yosef accomplished. That Yosef was fulfilled Ritzon Shochni snare. What does that mean? So, first of all, we have to understand what was said at the snare. If we go to Shmo Perakimel Pasuk Chet, the very last Pasuk on the page, you'll see what Hashem said at the snare. Hashem says, I've come to ulaloto min ha'aretz ahi, and to bring them up from Mitzrayim, el eretz tovar chava, el eretz avat chalav u'dvash, el mekom ha'kanani v'achiti v'amori v'aprizi v'achivi v'ayvusi. Right? The goal of the vision, of the snap, what Hashem wanted to accomplish, laid out in the vision at the snare, was to take us from Mitzrayim in order to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ratzon Shochni snare. Yosef is the catalyst for that. Yosef is the catalyst for that, and in a very specific way. Let's take a look at Bereishit Perek Nun. Okay, Bereishit Perek Nun, right after the Midrash Tanam. Bereishit Perek Nun. Vayomer Yosef el Achav, Anochi meit. Velohim pakod yifkod etchem ve'ala etchem min ha'aretz hazot el aretz asher nishba l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov. Yosef, I feel that Yosef is such a spiritual giant, such a hero of Chumash for many reasons. But one of the primary reasons is exactly this. We see Yosef as he's about to die. Right? He gathers his brothers together. This is the very end of his life. And he says, Velkim pakol yifkod etchem. And he continues in Pasuk Chaf Hei, Vayishva Yosef et bnei Yisrael lemor, pakol yifkod olhim etchem, velitem et atzmotai mizeh. Yosef repeats the fact that Pakod yifkod elokim etchem. Meaning that, think about this for a moment. This always strikes me as being so tremendously powerful. Yosef did not choose to be in Mitzrayim. Right? Yosef did not go willingly. Yosef would have been very happy to remain in Canaan with his family. But Yosef is forced to go to Mitzrayim. Yosef, as he says himself, recognizes that this is part of a divine plan, that there is a tremendous good in his being in Mitzrayim, because he saves the entire family from famine, he saves the entire region from famine, he saves a major part of the civilized world from death, and he accomplishes incredible things. And then he gets Bnei Yisrael established in Mitzrayim, and they prosper in every sense. They grow from being a family to being a nation. And there's this tremendous growth, physical, spiritual, every sense. And Yosef is now about to die, and he could easily turn to his brothers and say, you know, this is not what I had in mind, but we did very well with what we had. Look at what we accomplished. Look at how good things are. And what happens instead? Yosef turns to his brothers and says, the main message that I want to get across to you is, says Yosef, the main thing I want you to understand is that as much as there may be a reason why we're here at this moment, this is not where we belong. As much as we, Baruch Hashem, are in a good state right at this moment, but Hashem is going to remember us and bring us back from here. And it may not be right away, and maybe, but Hashem is going to bring us back, and that we should be prepared for that. The Torah says that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells Bnei Yisrael that Hashem is going to take them out of Mitzrayim and bring them to Eretz Yisrael, as Hashem said at the snare, so Hashem says to Moshe in Perek Gimel Pasuk Tet Zayin, Lech basavtad zeknei Yisrael, v'yamart lehem Adonai lehi avotechem nirai lai, Elohe Avraham, Yitzchak v'Yaakov lemor, pakod pakarti etchem v'tasoy lachem b'Mitzrayim. Right, pakod pakayat yetchem, as Chazal point out, the point is that he uses the same language as Yosef used, Velokim Pakod Yifkod Etchem. Pakod Yifkod Elokim Etchem, right? In Pasuk Chavdal and Chavhei, respectively. And then the Pasuk says in Perak Dalid, Ein Ha'am, the people believe, Vayishmu'u ki pakad Adonai b'nei Yisrael v'chira'a et onyam v'ekdu v'ashtachavu. The people hear that what? That Moshe is bringing them the message that what's happening now is the fulfillment of what Yosef spoke about. And I think that there's a tremendous, tremendous idea here in terms of the Ritzon Shochni Sna. What does it mean that Yosef fulfilled the will of the one who dwells in the Sna? I don't think it means that that's just a way of referring to Hashem, because Hashem is never referred to this way. There are so many other ways Hashem is referred to, right? What is it? Shochni Sna. When is Hashem ever referred to as Shochni Sna? Outside of Shmo Perakim, where is Hashem ever described as dwelling in the Sna? But the point is that Yosef is the one who enables Hashem's plan for bring Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. How? By inculcating in them the understanding that although things may be very good in Mitzrayim, that's not where they belong, and that they need to return to Eretz Yisrael, and that's really where they belong. And I think that Yosef, who at this stage in his life is the viceroy and is almost the most powerful person in Egypt, and which is the most powerful power in the world, and has achieved so much and has built such a life for him and his family and his nation. Yosef, who is this the ultimate success story in Galut, nonetheless is successful in turning to everyone around him, to his family, to his nation, and saying, but we are in Galut here, and we need to eventually return. And that is exactly, I think, what Daniel accomplishes. Daniel is also in the palace. He's also the head advisor to the king. He's also tremendously successful by every measure, including the what he accomplishes religiously and spiritually, and he's this great success story in Galut, whose focus is always on Yerushalayim, on the Mikdash, on Eretz Yisrael, on our getting back on track in terms of the true stream of Jewish history, which is entirely tied up with and connected to Eretz Yisrael. And that, I think, is the most significant parallelism between the story of Daniel and the story of Yosef, and the personality of Daniel and the personality of Yosef. And that's what I want to bring out about this aspect of the connection of the two. Shavua Tov and Shavua Shalom. Thank you very much. Toda, toda.
I'm so sorry I didn't get that today.
Don't worry about it. It's this is what happens when something's not part of the shigra, right? It's not part of your normal schedule. It's not part of it. I forgot it last week. You both did it. Thank you.
I found the perfect thing to do for this return.
Perfect.
You know the story on what Isha Potiphar?
I've heard of it.
And when according to the Midrash Rabbah, there's this entire story, and it goes on and on and on, and it's really, really similar to Vashti.
Okay.
So I want to try to compare and contrast.
Sounds good. Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, good. That's the thing, to find something you're excited about.
Yeah, that was like so cool.
Thank you.
walk over to the elevator.
Sorry.
Down from here. Is it in that business thing or free? I